All right, everybody. Hello, hello. Hello, hello, hello. It is season 6, episode 1. What's happening? Okay. Season 6, episode 1. I'm so sorry. I'm having feedback, guys. I do apologize. Why am I? I'm repeating. It's like I'm echoing. Why am I echoing?
Oh, do you have
two devices on?
You have Facebook on sound. So turn the sound off.
Got it. Ah. Wow, that was scary.
Better. All right, start over.
Hi, everybody.
Hiya.
Good night.
Good night. Good night. It is Cocktails with Kia and Friends. It's your girls. And we are back, season 6, episode 1. And we're going to discuss current Black history. Black history of the millennial and Gen Z generation. Spanning from millennial to Gen Z. So pretty much like all of the individuals that are in that generation that's, you know, trailblazing and making a change now, setting their footing in the Black community now. Like, to me, that was something to reference because we need to, you know, I know we always reference like Harriet Tubman, which was profound what she did, obviously. and Rosa Parks and others, you know what I mean? Like Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, but like, what about right now? Like at that time when it was happening, right? They were there right now. You know what I mean? So yeah. Who is our right now? That's going to be, you know, the future discussion of, you know, Black history. And also the little kids, we want to discuss pretty much how they will be contributing to history one day, the little ones today. So, and that's actually going to segue into a conversation we will be having later this month, which is going to be really awesome. All right. So, you know, it's me, the main host, Kia, and we have, shall we?
Hey, y'all. Hey, good night.
My baby Shay. And then here you go, Tutu and April.
Hey, guys.
What's up?
Okay. So, you know, we normally do custom cocktail. I did not post a recipe because some recipes ain't gonna get posted.
They're not, but we're gonna
tell you anyway. Yeah, we'll tell you why later. But I did an impromptu one because, as you guys know, we're real authentic. We keep it real. Like I didn't create one ahead of time. I did one like at 7:52, and it is my Malibu Black rum. And it's mixed with Dr. Pepper and lime juice.
Oh, wait a minute.
I feel like you're jealous. I don't know.
First and foremost, never say it was, but.
my best friend is here. So. Hey,
what? Malibu?
Black Malibu.
Black Malibu.
What does that taste like? What does that one taste like?
So it does a little amaretto. It has a little amaretto-ish to it, Shay. That's probably why your ears perked up. It does, because you know the Dr. Pepper gives that amaretto cherry type flavor. So it has that kind of note. It has that amaretto note to it. And then it, you know, the rum, of course, the rum is, you know, Malibu rum is super,
it's very
smooth. You don't really feel it or taste it. And the lime pretty much is like that citrus.
Lime
always got to put a splash on it. It
works perfectly well with rum.
It is nice. This is definitely a Shay drink. On a Friday night.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Without a pick me.
It has to be a weekend.
I know me very well.
I said Friday night without pick me. Okay.
Without pick me. And pick me, we got to tell the people what pick me is.
Sherry,
what pick me is.
Without my child.
There you go.
patois. Okay.
Oh yeah, Jamaican patois. Amen.
But not pick me.
All right.
That's okay. Speaking of, he need to go to sleep.
Oh, not sleep. Night, night.
He's taking advantage. Dylan, if you're listening,
I'm gonna bellow to him in just a time.
Okay. It's coming. All right. So everyone else, any special concoctions or just something standard?
Well, we're drinking all from what we were drinking all at the photo shoot. So
we're drinking. So we have a cocktail. Cocktails with Kia Brand. We have a cocktail called Red Solo Cup.
Yeah,
April has hers in an actual red solo cup, but you know, this it's a silver but version of a red solo cup. But I'm trying to look for the ingredients. Okay, so our red solo cup, and the reason it's called red solo cup, because you know, whenever you're at a game night, a house party, a girls' night, a pajama party, whatever it is, you know. What's the one thing we run to the store and get? It's those red solo cups. And your red solo cup, honestly, can be a concoction of whatever you can think of. But once it pops into our head, we think brown liquor. Yes. So in this particular cocktail, we used brown liquor. We used a bourbon whiskey. The particular brand we use is called Evan Williams Bourbon Whiskey.
The one that makes the eggnogs
for the holiday. Mm-hmm. So they also have a bourbon whiskey. So we picked that up. Bourbon whiskey, it's got passion fruit juice, Simply Lemonade. We love our Simply Lemonade. Yeah. And our guava nectar. And it also has a hint of lime and a splash of grenadine as well. So that is what ties it all together, makes your red solo cup. Be careful with this one because it is a creeper.
I'm sipping slow because I drink too fast. Yeah. I'll be slurring.
Understand whatever is in your red solo cup. If anybody asks you what's in your cup, your red solo cup always has to have a creeper in it. So sip slow whenever you're sipping out that red solo cup. But this particular cocktail, we love it. It's called
Dangerous.
It's a dangerous. It's called Red Solo Cup. So we'll drop the recipe for that soon.
Okay, awesome. Thank you for sharing that. Y'all are so cute. So Red Solo Cup has to be a creeper. Okay, I gotta remember that. So when we do our creations. All right, guys. So current Black history. Let's get into it. I'm going to pose the first question. What is Black history to you?
So see, when I think Black history, it's a loaded question, right?
It is loaded.
Black history, now, whenever you're talking about the word history in general, you think past tense, you think what has happened. But even though you are still thinking of past tense, it's something that I feel has shaped who you are today, and it's shaping your now. It's also going to shape your future, what's to come. So when I think Black history, I think everyone and everything and every occurrence that has paved the way to where we are right now, and also to our future to come, because we have to look at our examples, where they've brought us from, where we are now, and where we're going with it. So that's what I think about when I think of Black history. And it goes beyond a month. I feel like Black history is every day. We are making it as we speak right now. So Black history is 365 to me.
You did that. She like all in one word, like in a blanket. That's your Black history.
That's it. And I think honestly, like I think sometimes people don't realize that Black history is continuous. That because of the word history, it's automatically something in the past, but not that you can be present and you're etching yourself into the history of what would be the history. So everything that we're doing now is and will be a part of Black history in our own little communities and our families and our ways. So I think we also, to piggyback and to add on to what Tutu was saying, is that remember that regardless, we are Black. And we are going to be history.
Yeah, absolutely. Also. Okay, so like this podcast show is going to be Black History. Okay. Yay. Yes. So guys, so pretty much, you know, current Black history is, I'll say current is more so, I'll say within the last 20 years. I just wanted to like dive deep into what has shaped our generation and the generations that came after us, the figures that have shaped our generation and influenced us then and now. And then I mean, like, let's say the 90s, right? So that's when we were really becoming to, we were in our becoming ages, and learning about what was happening at our time, like in middle school, high school. I was very hype about this topic because I'm sitting here and I'm like, everyone that we're discussing on our Black History posts, because we're doing a daily post, everyone, jump in for the month of February is jump in. We will try to at least like keep this at least once a month for the rest of the year. Just kind of like, just because we're a Black culture conversational panel. So, but every day we are doing a daily Black History 365 fact. And I was like, what about right now? There's a lot that's been going on in the last 5 years. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like the I Can't Breathe with Eric Garner and how the Black Lives Matter movement started. To me, that was like a baby civil rights move. I don't want to say baby. I should not put baby on top of any label regarding Black history. But it's
a movement, period.
It's a movement, period. So, and it's like, to me, it mirrors like those strong movements in Black culture that occurred prior to our generation. So, let's go ahead and talk about, let's get a little light talk about it at first. Chris Brown is our Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson, yep.
It's my baby.
Yep. He is reincarnated.
Okay, so we all agree, yeah. No one's getting technical about.
I think there's no.
Regarding the artistry.
Yeah, there's, even if you don't like Chris Brown.
Right.
Because you know, like, you don't have to like him.
Right.
To give him, props. And to like really acknowledge that he
is
the biggest in pop for the generation. I mean, I don't think anybody topping Chris in that, because he's also
a crossover artist,
but he's a performer. He knows how to perform.
Keyword perform. Yes,
because not only did MJ know how to sing, he knew how to dance, but he knew how to perform.
Yes,
you're right. But he got competition. Usher.
No.
Yeah. No, and
I don't think Usher does. No. Usher.
Really? Y'all really say that for real?
Us.
It's us. Because I really wanted them to do a Versus together, but it didn't happen.
Chris wasn't doing it. He wasn't gonna do it.
He's too busy.
He said he wasn't doing it.
He's not doing it. They're not gonna compete against. He has too much. Yeah. They have too much respect for each other. And yeah,
Chris wasn't gonna do it.
Usher is like I wouldn't say one level type artist, but Usher doesn't rap. Chris has rapped.
Well, he doesn't. Michael Jackson, he rapped.
We're just comparing the status of where Chris is now.
I think Usher
will
fall in there too, though.
Michael was a crossover artist. Like, he is
the crossover in a certain thing.
Usher is the middle between Michael and Chris.
Yeah.
So he's the middle.
He is. Okay. Because if you act like when you look back at the younger Chris, he looked up to Usher and Michael. I mean, Michael was his dude.
Yes.
But he was also inspired by Usher, who came before him.
Yes.
Beyond the year. So Usher is the middle between MJ and CB, but in terms of, I think, worldwide, it's Chris.
It's Chris.
So basically, Usher, before Chris got the title, Usher was the next Michael Jackson until Chris Brown came along, basically.
That's what you're saying. He could have been. He could.
But not.
I think I would say
like he's in that category. He might not be the best, but he's still falling in that category to be like a clone.
I say the potential is there, but as far as crossing over worldwide everywhere.
Yeah, worldwide, Usher wasn't Chris. There.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's Chris.
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah. So Chris Brown, keep doing what you do. Keep going. You are a talent. You are a beast. His music catalog is nuts. He's a crossover artist. He's hip hop. He's pop. He's R&B. He's now Afrobeat. Like, I don't know. Like, at the end of the day,
he's house music.
He's
Afrobeat. Right. He's everything.
He's super talented and he's a talented artist. He's really, really talented. He's very blessed.
Chris dipped into some things. Chris has even took a stab at rapping. Usher hasn't done that.
Yeah, that's the hip hop. Yeah, he's all of that. All right, y'all. So let's see. What about Colin Kaepernick? Do y'all feel like he's our Rosa Parks?
It's like I want to say yes, but I'm gonna say no. The reason why is because Colin, as wonderful as the movement was, I don't think it had
a huge impact.
Not that big of an impact on the world as Rosa saying she's not giving up that seat.
Yeah.
On the bus, you know what I mean? I just
don't. Like, it impacted a lot of people, but it did not hit internationally. Yeah,
it was not I don't think it was the same. Mm-hmm. Were they fighting?
It's not going to be the same. It's a different era. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, different eras. But I think Collins, not to limit what he did, because he really did great things. And he stood up for...
He lost his job.
But what did that really do? Everyone said...
Let's
boycott the NFL. But we're still going to watch... Nobody really. We're still going to watch Super Bowl on Sunday. Let's be real. Like... It didn't do what Rosa did. It was supposed to, but it just didn't do what Rosa did, if that makes any sense.
It makes perfect sense.
I think, okay, so I think that in its own way, in its own right, it was impactful for those that it affected. It didn't affect a lot of people on a grandiose scale, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think so. With the boycott, well, with Rosa doing what she did, it led to a boycott. It led to desegregation of those things.
Yes. So
in the long run, and it wasn't necessarily in a long, it didn't take long either. So, and then also I think people were also, there was a lot of people across mm-hmm. the nation that were willing to sacrifice a bus ride to walk the miles. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying?
Like, absolutely.
They and they walked the miles instead of getting on the bus when they were exhausted, when they were tired, they were beaten, they were doing all of, you know what I'm saying? They were all of those things. So I know.
Okay.
I don't think so. but does that take away or negate what he has done or is doing and is trying to change in the NFL? No. Mm-hmm. I think that that's his lane, and I think that there's change, but
so
the NFL is so white.
Yes.
In its ownership that he has to have the help. Like Jay coming on and being like, hey, yo, do your thing. That's the stuff that helps, but Jay is only one.
Right. Jay, guys, we are referencing Jay-Z.
Yes. And
the rapper Jay-Z.
Can I quickly add also, if we look at the story of Rosa Parks, now it didn't just start with Rosa. There was
another teenage girl.
Colleen, I believe, I don't want to get it wrong.
refused to give up her seat on the bus. However, she didn't fit the description. And because she was also, she was a teenager and she was pregnant. That was, it didn't fit the bill. So Rosa's incident was intentional. It's not just because she was tired or anything, but that that incident happened. It happened before Rosa, but I don't think, that's why I say it, it's not really the same.
Not the same. Not the same. No. But reason why I compared it is because I'll say for our modern day activism that he participate and is participating in, because he's even founded a nonprofit. Colin Kaepernick has found founded a nonprofit that actually fights oppression with like systemic racial injustice, as well as you know, the kneeling during the national anthem was about protesting the words, protesting the national anthem, because it's a lie. So yeah, it's not going to be equal because it's totally different eras, totally different things that they're fighting for, in a sense of, I mean, she had to sit at the back of the bus. Like that, blacks had to sit at the back of the bus. He took away a privilege of his where, hey, I'm I sacrificed millions. I sacrificed my privileged life as a black man in the football industry because this isn't right. So it's like he, when he became aware and he educated himself about, you know, the civil rights movement, he educated himself about the national anthem, he took a stance. And yeah, it is primarily a white industry ran and powered by white men. Yeah, that was something, that was a very, that was a very bold and courageous thing for him to do, because what else is he gonna do for money? So, so much of what we consider safe and comfortable living is getting to where he got, where he was with his millions, right? And he sacrificed that for a stance. I think that was phenomenal. Yeah, it's not equal to what Rosa Parks did because it's totally different eras. But I think that the sacrifice that they both made, where they took a stance, he sacrificed his privileged life, he sacrificed, you know, freedom. She had to get, you know, she was jailed, you know, it was hard back then. They both made sacrifices taking a stance for something. That's why I compared them, but you're right. It's not equal. But yeah, he definitely, you guys, like whenever you, whenever whoever is listening, Colin Kaepernick, he took a knee, instead of standing and pledging to the national anthem, which is American traditional, in sports. Actually, beyond sports in America, it's a tradition. To take a stance and pledge to the flag, and he was like, "Absolutely not." And he knew that there was consequences behind it. Clearly,
Sherry got some thoughts.
As Kiki's talking, it's just why.
Why
is it almost mandatory
to say the pledge?
To say the pledge, the pledge, or to stand during the pledge of,
It's patriotic.
Your
respect. But it should be a choice.
So it should be a choice.
It should be a choice. And it's not in your contract that when you get into the NFL that you need to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, if you get into whatever kind of sport.
And we just do it. Even with class.
Do it.
In the classroom. In the classroom. In grade school.
But then you get not correct. You know, elementary school, stand and pledge allegiance, blah, blah, blah. Okay, cool, whatever. You get to middle school, stand and pledge. And then you get to high school and you start
You don't do that at all.
You're doing African-American history. You get to college and you're doing all different types of studies to realize, okay,
this is not
who wrote it.
Right.
What were they talking about?
Yeah.
And who were they talking to? Because he's dang sure wasn't talking to us.
Not us. So they were talking to us.
What am I pledging to? That the song wasn't written for me.
Right.
And my people. So what am I pleading to? Because the same country that I'm pledging allegiance to is the same country that is doing things systemically to keep me down and to oppress me and to kill me. So help make it make sense.
Yeah. Yeah. So and that sparked a lot of change. Of course, we got a ways to go. But change is change nonetheless. But yeah, he has his foundation, he has his nonprofit foundation, which has been doing great things. So big up documentary. To you, Colin. Huh?
He had a documentary as well.
It was actually pretty good. I wanted to read some of the comments. So Bev, hey Bev girl, hey girl.
Hey babe.
Hi.
He said, right, it's been our experience to do that. He was just allowed to do it on a major platform and took that opportunity. I respect it for our generation. Roshana says, yes, he was boycotting the NFL. He was boycotting the words to the anthem. It was too much white cops killing Black people and getting away with it.
Absolutely. Correct. Absolutely.
And Coma Jesse says, and I say you sacrifice your love and dignity and morals. You sacrifice your love for dignity and morals and principles. And then Bev says, it's a social construct from living in America, SMH.
Yes.
Absolutely. Thank y'all so much for those comments. Yes, all of y'all are hitting on some major points. Okay, my educated, come through.
Correct. Come on, Black excellence.
Yes, the Black excellence. We are going to listen. Hi. Don't sleep on us. Don't be sleepy around us. Okay, so correct. All right, guys. So I also what else did I reference, guys? Who is Beyonce? I don't care whether you like her or not. Well, that she's lady not,
she's
is
Tina the Turner. Female MJ.
She's Tina Turner.
Nah, she beyond Tina, baby.
She's the female MJ. Well, I don't even know if Janet.
She's Tina.
Janet, though, but.
Janet at the time with
that's
her.
I'm asking
brother.
The Janet.
Yes, but I'm saying she can also.
Did Janet have a rival though?
Yeah, she's a performer too now. Don't sleep on Tina.
Oh, I'm not sleeping on Miss Tina. Miss Tina is you.
Yeah,
Tina's what? Tina's what? Two generations from us.
It don't matter, but Tina was. But
in her prime, she was. That performer, but I will say, no matter what people say about her, no matter whether you're in the Beehive or not, you know, I don't think we're all like really deeply rooted in the Beehive. I mean, we do have to give her the fact that this past Sunday that she became and made history by becoming the most Grammy Award-winning artist. Like in history,
period.
Ever in history. So she is that artist.
She encompasses
her. They gave it to her on Sunday. So congratulations to Beyonce. She is that girl.
She
is right now.
But then in that case, then she's just her own person.
So she can't even compare her to nobody. I don't think we can compare her right now.
So she has her own Black history catalog. You can't even compare, like, she is a molding of, I'll say, Diana Ross, Janet Jackson, Tina Turner, Whitney Houston. Performance-wise, she got longevity, like Whitney.
She might be a Whitney, she's just a performer.
She's a performing Whitney.
She's a performing Whitney.
Whitney don't dance, but she's singing.
Whitney's voice is unmatched. But that voice is untouchable for the
she's long.
Even with Whitney on crack.
She's out singing
Beyonce.
That voice is timeless.
I can't tell when she was on crack or not. Okay, I feel so like Whitney was just always
exactly
right. Heartbreak Hotel was crack Whitney, right? And I feel like I can't tell between. I love Whitney. May your soul rest. But lady, you
Whitney, we
life.
Love you. Rest in
Whitney
peace,
lived her life.
No,
Whitney
I actually did. Wasn't.
Don't live Whitney.
Yes, I think it was, actually. I think it was.
Let's get it popping. Yes, it was. Well, but do you understand what I'm saying?
Lord if, Jesus.
She never missed a beat. Whitney never missed a beat.
Well, we have some.
Oh, Benny said. Benny said that's
that
a lie.
Are contesting.
Benny said that's a lie.
We have. Yeah, Benny said that's a lie. Whitney on crack was effing horrible. But
wait,
there
was Apollo.
That was when she was.
I'm not talking about her appearance. I'm talking about her.
We're
delivery.
Talking about her
yeah,
voice.
Her voice.
About her. Her voice. She had unmatched.
No, but she had a performance where she, I don't know what award show it was, but she was.
It was where it was like cracking and like and she was all that kind of stuff. Yeah, that was
like,
Whitney down there.
But did what she did and
but
came out.
When it comes
you know,
to technique, voice, she's
she
got
still
it.
The range.
She had it.
But that day she didn't have it. That day.
No, she didn't.
I know what you're talking about, Benny. I got you.
Yeah. It was like she had on like black or does she have?
She had on this black sequence dress.
Black, right? She had on black, right?
And her hair looked like Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. We not finna go there.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Okay. So okay. Well, Whitney is Black Girl Magic.
She is gonna forever be.
She's gonna forever be Black Girl Magic. Mm-hmm. Salute to her.
Yes,
no matter
absolutely.
What she was going through,
yeah, absolutely.
She was a troubled individual.
Yeah.
But when it came to voice, no, I'm sorry, no one is touching that voice really. For our generation growing up,
yes.
Like I looked up to her. I still sing her songs at karaoke and open mic nights till
this absolutely.
Day. Yes, she does, y'all. And she
I
does that.
Really, you know, I get the people jumping, but that voice, you can't. The only thing she didn't have is she wasn't a she didn't dance or anything. She wasn't yeah. a performance. She focused more on the singing, the technique. I'm gonna sing the melody, the harmony.
Yeah.
That's what she had. So when we talk about Beyonce, we're talking about okay, she. I don't even know. I can't say range or no range. She has a voice. She performs. She dances. She has pretty costumes.
Wednesday, she can sing.
Okay.
I don't even know who to compare her to. Like,
she
Beyonce.
That's in her own.
She's a performing Whitney.
Yeah.
But she don't have Whitney's voice.
Guys, just to name a few of Beyonce's achievements. In 2002, now remind you, 2002, she was what? Like 18 or something? She was not that old.
She's she what, was 40? How old is she
she's
now?
Like 40, because 42. She September, she turned 41.
Yeah, she was in her early 20s.
So she won Songwriter of the Year from American Society of Composers in 2002. And she became the first African-American woman to win that award.
Look at that.
In 2004, Beyonce, and also in 2019, she received the NAACP Image Award for Entertainer of the Year and the Soul Train Music Award for the Sammy Davis Jr. Entertainer of the Year Award. And y'all know that's just like a smidge of her awards
yeah.
that I just
and because she's a performer.
But
she's
again, like you said, she just made history this past Sunday. She's
whether
a
you like her or not.
Yeah, it's not about what you like. It's about
yeah. It's I'm it's now achievement. I'm not really the biggest Beyonce fan just because
neither am I.
Why? Okay, we don't have to talk about why. That's another conversation.
No, neither am
but,
I.
But it doesn't take away from her the, ability to put on a show.
So yes, yes.
You know,
I agree
she's
with
very
Shane.
Very anal. She's type A when it comes to that type of stuff. It has
yes.
to be. It has to be.
Yes.
I mean, if you watch the Homecoming documentary, and she's been like that. I mean, from Destiny's yeah. Child, from all of that, she's been the same. And that's yeah. her father. Honestly, yeah. that was her dad making her run in heels on a treadmill. And
yeah,
sing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
that
yeah.
discipline.
She got it.
She got it.
She got that. It's, yeah. It's there. Okay. Well, wait, keep it up, B.
So Black Girl Magic, can we
and go you know, to the do you know, if you know the kind of money? I just this is just a totally off topic thing. You know the kind of money and clout you have to have plastic surgery and nobody say anything about it?
She did not have plastic surgery.
Who are you talking about? Wait, who are you talking about? Boobies came
from? Where them boobies came from?
Her children.
Nah.
You talking about B? Girl, B fit bad.
Yes.
Girl, B already was fit before she had kids.
Yeah. What are you talking about?
No, she dropped weight. She dropped that weight.
Oh my gosh, what's happening? Oh my gosh.
It was so
that girl ain't getting no boot job. She ain't doing it.
Yes, she did.
Not one thing for certain. I'm gonna say
yes, she did. Yes, she did.
So who say she did?
Me say she did.
Why
no.
She can't exercise?
She exercise. She's a
pump. She can be exercising while pregnant. You can do that too. And it helps with your snapback.
No. I'm talking about her boobs. I'm not talking about her body. I'm talking about her boobs. I'm talking about her boobs. I'm not talking about
her too big.
Or, you know, when you have children, don't they?
They get bigger. No.
They get bigger and they go down. That's most of the time if you're breastfeeding. But if you look at her last 2020, she already had those twins.
She already had them. Okay.
Look at her now.
She could have got a lift.
That's a boob. But that's what I'm saying. She did. No, they're bigger.
Augmentation or something.
Yes, they are bigger. Correct.
Augmentation to lift.
Bevelin says, I believe she had more surgery than that, but who cares? Jesse says, "Stay your behind and your conspiracies."
No, but I wanted to go to the comments because Jesse says so.
So we have a few comments. We need to scroll back.
Stop lying, y'all. Better go rewatch the case video. She was in that. She was 18 in that video. Was she? No, she wasn't 18. She was like 16.
She was young. Yeah, she was.
She wasn't even an adult yet. She was like 16 in the video.
You see how she looked at me? Like a grown man.
So we have another comparison. So Dinelle said, what about Toni Braxton? I'm assuming.
Was that to Beyonce? That was to Beyonce?
Well, when we're talking about comparing voices.
No.
Oh.
Toni Braxton voice to Beyonce?
No.
Okay.
No.
Babes. Toni is just low. She has what is that
she
called?
She has a low. She has
a low alto, or is it
alto?
No,
she's
big.
She got like a bass.
She's below an alto.
Yeah.
So let's compare Toni to alto. Anita.
Well, actually, she's a tenor, isn't she? Tutu?
She's a tenor.
Or no?
Tenor.
Or is she? What is
she's
she?
She's a tenor.
She's a tenor.
Toni sounds like a tenor to me.
I would compare Toni to Anita Baker.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah. I would say that, Anita Baker preceded that.
Evelyn says, if his voice is only voices to Mariah, that's comparable.
That is comparable because, you know, they was comparing Whitney and Mariah together.
That is
true. Oh, yeah. Those were the two biggest.
That's the other person I'd be singing at karaoke.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Tutu's karaoke divas are Whitney and Mariah. So.
But wait, I wanted to go back to a comment that.
Okay. Yes, and coma.
When we was talking about Black History, he said, wait, and coma said, you cannot put Black History all in 1 month. And that's Shay true. Said, why not?
Oh, no.
Shay said, why not? And he was like, American history is Black History. Why would you only give us 1 month? And then he said, is there White History Month? Killed me.
But it's what? But not. Yeah. So
the answer is no. There is
never
no,
gonna be that.
There we don't have a
I don't think they're gonna have one of those. There's no such thing.
Black to answer your
because
question.
Because they're every month.
Yeah.
They have something every month.
Black history is 365. Even though we have a month, I feel like the month
we
is
just commemorate everything in February.
The month is like a birthday.
We went from a week.
Oh, let's talk about the history of Black History Month.
Right, because we went from a week.
It used to be one week.
1 week.
Now it's a month.
A whole month.
Okay, so.
As it started to like, everybody started to partake on it and start showing their side of the culture when it comes to Black History Month, and they started to learn more about it. Mm-hmm. So it's like, why only have this for a week? That's not enough for us.
So the exactly. So Dr. Carter G. Wood said the very infamous miseducation of the Negro. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows that book, heard of it. You didn't have to read it, but someone you could have at least heard of the book. He's the author. He's the author of that book. Okay, so let me bring it down to the music listeners. All those who know the Lauryn Hill, the Miseducation of Lauryn Hill, she referenced, that's her reference to the Miseducation of the Negro book, who was authored by Dr. Carter G. Woodson, who is an educator at the time in the 1920s, he started Black History Week. 1926, he started Black History Week. In 1976, there was another African American studies philosopher. I have to get his name. Sorry, guys. He's the one that expanded it and protested for it to be a month long. So it was us.
Woodard. What was his name? Woodard, I think.
Woodard?
Yeah.
So it was us. It was us.
Woodard or Woodson or something.
We're the reason why it's a month. So I just wanted to let everyone know that, like, those who are questioning, why is it only a month? We're the ones. We're the
Carter G. Woodson, that's his name.
Yeah, well, Carter G. Woodson started it in 26. 1976 is when someone else expanded it into a month. Dr. Woodson started it for a week.
Hold on. Let me go. Shut up. Come on, Wi-Fi.
But think about it. 1926, guys. That is... That was a very high time of racism, open lynchings, open. You understand what I'm saying? So for him to still say it is important to know who we are.
Yes.
In 1926, you know what risk it took for them to take stances like that at that time?
A whole lot.
So. Yeah. Dr. Woodson did that in 1926, and his campaign was to honor it for a week, at least a week, give us a week to discuss this in studies, and then like 50 years later, it became
76.
So that's amazing. But it's because of us that we have a month dedicated.
Shout out.
To our accomplishments and to, you know, our history. Gosh, we did so much for the world, not just America. But all right. So Beyonce, we're gonna get off of you, honey. We love you though.
Oh, Bevelyn said now DeSantis don't want it discussed at all.
Oh, yeah.
He's
trying. He's trying to get rid of it
out of the schools. Yeah.
And what? Okay, so the governor of Florida, DeSantis, is trying to get rid of African American studies.
Correct.
Out of every school, or is there a certain out of all high schools, or just school period?
School period.
Got it. Wow. If it can't be more blatant than that.
If it ain't disrespect, I don't know what it is.
It can't be more blatant than that, you know, hey, we got to completely remove it. What is his stance against it? Is it funding? Is he placating it for like, is funding or something like that? Or what's
he's
his stance?
Evil. He don't,
he has to have, a what's his proposal?
The proposal is take it out because it makes white people look bad.
He said what? He don't want black people.
I said take it out because it makes white people look bad.
Essentially,
the same thing with CRT.
Not just look bad.
Why they don't want to talk about it is because it makes white people look bad.
Yeah. Same
critical race theory.
It's basically gonna make the kids feel negative, make them feel bad. Take it out altogether. He doesn't want them feeling bad or feeling excluded.
That they culture did that to us. That's what
they but it's bad the about. Truth.
It's the truth. You can't hide it. It's too accessible. What are you doing? What does he think he's
But you know what? It's one of those things where we shouldn't be relying on the school system to teach our children those things anyway.
Thank you, Shay.
It's our job as the parents, the aunties, the uncles, the mamas, the daddies, granddaddies, whoever, to give that information at home, because absolutely. A lot of times anyway, what our generation I think is realizing and has realized is the stuff that's in the history books was wrong. Anyway, it was wrong. It was
inaccurate,
poorly written about. There's a lot of facts that were left out. Mm-hmm. So we only found that out. Like for me, I wasn't born here. Majority of my family wasn't born here.
Right.
So I have to rely on Kia and her dad. And
you know really, I mean? Shay?
No, but I mean, I have to rely on my friends,
yeah.
Parents, grandparents, great grandparents who lived here to get right. the real deal.
Right.
Of what happened that's not in the history books, because my family doesn't have that.
Right.
Right.
And that's the stuff that's not being taught in the history books. It's the little nuances that weren't being taught. We have the grandiose things, like we have the Rosa Parks, but how many years later did we find out about the young lady with the teenager?
30, 50.
You know what I mean? And right. some of that information is only because we still have great grandparents who are still here that yeah. were around to know that information
yeah.
to pass.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So.
And then we started to.
Correct.
Research.
I gotta stop saying that. It's Pauletta. Exactly.
What did she say?
Correct. Well, this is correct all the time.
All the time.
But, you know, like with Dylan, I started a journal with him. And I told y'all this.
Yes. Impressive.
That has happened that he'll have an account of it from my point of view in real time, because I know for a fact that when the history books come out that he's going to be using,
right,
it's not going to be factual. It's not going to be true.
It's going to be so watered down. It's going to be so sad. Yeah.
I want to say this though, because when you mentioned like we shouldn't be just learning this in school. We should be learning this at home. But what about the parents that have not been teaching their children about history?
Well, that's what she's saying. They should,
because it's not a lot. A lot of these kids would be lost, even if that is something. If we were to go back into where the parents are the ones teaching the history,
okay, even more.
Right.
We had like teachers like Mr. Watson at Ely. While Mr. Watson was teaching us in the book, he's telling you what happened on the street.
Yes, yes. Oh, I've been Mr. Watson.
We need those type of history. Oh
my, you understand God. What I'm saying? So he's gonna say, well, this is what he has to test you based on curriculum. Mm-hmm. But Mr. Watson is telling you from his memory stuff that happened in his area and what he was trying. Exactly. Correct.
Exactly.
There's no reason why, honestly, these kids have access to the internet.
They do
somewhere. They may not have a phone, you know, especially the poverty-stricken ones. I understand that they might not have a phone, but they know somebody who has one.
You got a library.
So the same way they use somebody's phone to get on IG and Facebook and TikTok and all this kind of thing.
You can research
if they have that desire to figure things out. Yeah. Ask Google X Siri.
If they want to, they
will.
Right.
They don't have the excuse that we had because we grew up with the technology.
Yes.
We also knew how to go.
We
to the
are
library
the at first. Yeah.
We knew how to go to the library and use the internet.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know what I mean?
So
yeah. So right. That's the point. To Shay's point, it is up to those who want to know and those who want to learn versus those who don't really care about it. I can relate to Shay as well, just because I was not born in this country as well. And a lot of things are taken out in school. So I remember growing up in grade school, it took me learning from my friends in school, my African-American friends, certain things about Black history and certain teachers such as Hermes Watson. I had certain teachers who did share their experiences, because there's Black history as a general, as a whole, and then there's what you experience as a person in whatever environment you grow up in. So while I'm learning from them, they're also learning from me, because I do know that people were also fascinated with, oh, you're from here, like, what is it like? What, you know, I had a lot of questions. I had some ignorance, but I had a lot of good questions. So we were basically learning from each other what was not taught in school. It's up to those who want to know. And there
absolutely. So we're gonna go to the comments. Hold on, I'm seeing some things come through.
Quite a bit.
Whoa, let me roll up. Okay.
Roll them in, you guys. Roll them in.
Oh, somebody.
He was talking about that darn Mr. Watson. He was a horrible teacher, Jesse.
Wait, what happened? What he said?
What I'm not going to say that word, but he said that darn Mr. Watson.
Oh, that's the one we're saying that he taught. He taught you the real deal. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Bevelin. Okay, so Bevelin says, I guess regarding DeSantis with African American studies, they are being forced to revise it before it will be allowed to be taught in school. He says it's a platform for extremist Black Lives Matter views. Okay.
Wait, so he revising it. So he's taking it out to revamp it and bring it back into the school.
He just wants it watered down.
It wants it watered down because he's in a generation.
Lord bless.
He wants it watered down, but also it's going to take out a lot of the things that have been accounted for, especially probably, I think, minimizing all that has happened for the newer books, because those newer editions are going to come out.
Right.
That has happened specifically probably in Florida, because Florida has been a hot scorching mess.
Yeah.
Since Trayvon Martin and beyond.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Seriously.
So it's been a hot scorching mess. And I really do feel like they think that we are going to seek revenge in some way, shape, or form.
It's too late for that.
But we're not seeking revenge, though. We only want equality.
If we seek revenge, that is, right.
We ain't seeking revenge. Once we decide that we want revenge, it's gonna be a crap show.
It's a rebellion.
It's gonna be.
They haven't seen revenge.
A modern rebellion would be crazy. Modern rebellion in the Black community, like nationwide, would be insane, and I would be all for it. But let me read some more comments here.
It ain't gonna go that far.
Oh, Jesse said he was great. I just got in trouble in his class by mistake.
By mistake, I bet.
Bad self.
Bevelin says every Black person doesn't understand the full scope of the African American experience, and that's kind of piggybacking off of you know, the Islanders and the Caribbean that I've heard from some of my friends that, you know, they didn't even know about that scope until they were here and listening to conversations or reading about it or just having hearsay conversations about it. And that's when, and we had that African, what was that experience, that segment we had that we discussed the double side of.
Yeah, double side. We had the episode for that.
The divide.
Yes, the Afro divide. That was a really good one because y'all were teaching me that just because I'm on soil here, I didn't have that experience that you guys had. So you guys had to learn with us like what we were going through and why, you know, there was, so with that being said, now that we have access, because we are millennials, and that means that we are pretty much, we're the generation of the internet. Like, we're the first generation, the 80s babies, the millennials, we're the first generation of the internet access. So that's why we are more like, oh no, I know things, I'm educated, and we're going to do activism, we're going to, you know, get coalitions and organizations and petitions going because I know my rights. I research, I know my rights. You know what I mean? So, and then we are, you know, an educated generation where there's lawyers, there's a lot of educators, there's a lot of activists, and we're so even though, of course, there's still systemic things trying to hinder or hindering progress is still happening. It's just a little slowed down, but progress is still happening. with our generation. That's why I said, let's talk about the Black history with the millennials and spanning through Gen Z, because there's been so many movements formed just with us alone. Let me see here. Yeah, so, okay, it's just cousins that are, we all have, okay. So we just had the same experiences with our educators in high school, in which we went to Blanche Ely High. Actually has a little history behind it. Mm-hmm. It is, it wasn't the first Black high school. Don't get me.
Desegregated?
It was the first Black desegregated high school formed in Pompano Beach, Florida. Mm-hmm. Blanche Ely, let me see. She actually... Let me see here. Boom, 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 boom. Evelyn said it. It was great. We actually had a museum across the street from our high school. So our high school was Black history. You never went to the museum for a field trip?
No, because I think y'all did that freshman year. I came sophomore year.
Okay. That was yeah. So mm-hmm. The high school.
I knew where it was. Yeah, I knew where it was. I hadn't been inside.
Okay, so the high school, Blanche Ely High, that we attended, well, Shay and I and other family members and friends on our platform here that are listening to the conversation, is Black history itself. It was the first Black high school desegregated that really pushed out a lot of Black excellence. In Pompano Beach, Florida. Go ahead, Shay.
No, I'm reading the comments. Did you know she was married to the principal of Adillard?
No. Blanche Ely?
That's what Beverly said. She was married to the principal of Adillard. I wonder why. That's why we got our beef.
That's crazy. That's why they're our rivals? That's funny.
That's why we got our beef.
Okay, look at Beverly with the history, with the facts.
Oh, hey, V.
Thank you for doing. There's also, Beverly dropped this a question in there as well.
Yeah, that was a very good question.
Beverly says, who would you say is your favorite Black educator? I would say my father. I know you mean technically Beverly, but I would have to say my father. My father.
Outside of your daddy, Kiva.
I can't, because anyway, this man.
Guy, he was like, okay. Was explaining like history, because I ain't even gonna lie to you.
Go ahead.
I don't have a favorite, but I did look up to my uncle when he used to like conversate with us about stuff, and I'm like, I didn't know that. Like, you did? I'm like,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
I loved it because it made me feel like, okay, I'm learning something, because I'm getting this from. I try to get that from my own father, and he know only so much. So it's like, okay.
Right.
And then hearing it from my uncle, I'm like,
yes. There was always something. There was never a quiet moment. So
yeah, I would say my family in a way.
My favorite Black educator. If we're talking about high school, Evelyn, I ain't got one. I'm gonna be honest. All right.
High school for me would have been probably Mr. Watson.
If so, it'll be Mr. Watson.
It'll probably be Mr. Watson.
There was just a lot of distractions.
He was an older dude.
Yeah.
He was a much older guy. Mr. Watson was easily in what, his 60s, probably at that time.
I thought he was like in 70. His like 70.
He up there. But he was a mover. He knew how to connect with us.
Yes,
he didn't play around. but he also kind of gave you like a granddaddy.
Right. Granddaddy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
College, hands down, one of my college major professors, Ebony Ball, and I'm still Facebook friends with her.
Ebony Ball, okay.
Yes, Dr. Ball. From North Carolina A&T, bomb. I mean, just when it comes to Black history, relating it to community science, because my I was a social community science major, and really honing in on the plight of Black people and how it relates to communities and like how you're seen and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And express social experiments. Yeah. Definitely Ebony Ball.
I agree with you, Jesse. Auntie Dorothy. Kia.
Aunt Dorothy? Yes.
She's another one.
She's huge. Yeah. She's Which is my father's sister. So very passionate. Very passionate in the family. As y'all can see, the family members are the ones giving us the facts and the info. We're very, it's just a passion. I would say maybe in the media, who would be my favorite Black educator? I mean, I really...
Angela Davis.
I really don't have one, to be honest.
Can I say Oprah? Is that like... No? Okay.
You can.
Because she's been doing her thing in the throwback, the movies and stuff.
I look at Oprah. Okay, so I read... The O magazine, like she has a lot of rich information and vital information for the Black community. And I think people kind of categorize her as like just this journalist, like, okay, well, she's just entertaining us with TV shows and stuff. Like, no. She's educating us with the TV shows and with the forums and the magazines that, you know, and she and books, and she backs other authors, and she's like, she, and then like, I listen to like a lot of her inspirational audio. She has a lot of audios. And she's such an inspiration, and she's so educated. So I would say Oprah. I don't want it to sound like cliche, but I don't care. It's Oprah. Oprah's huge to me. Because of the wealth of knowledge and information that she shares, because people have it, but are they sharing it? Like,
so often? Gatekeeping is what it is. They gatekeep.
Say it again, Shay. So let's move on. I would say, would you guys say that Jordan Peele is our Spike Lee?
Who is Jordan Peele?
With a very, very warped mind.
With a very, yes, of course. He has to catch the attention of the generations today. You know, we got to
Wait, there's something wrong with that man. Something is wrong with him.
I would get out and, okay, hold on. I would say.
I agree with Shay with a very, very warped mind.
Man, that was a good movie though. Don't sleep.
Us
was a very good movie.
I don't think what? I
very good movie. So good. Oh my gosh.
Did we all go see that? Did we all go see that at the
No, I didn't go to the theater to see that. I don't want to put myself out there like that.
So I like that Jordan Peele on the forefront and some of his films, he peels apart mental health in the Black community. Oh my gosh. Thank you, God, for him. And his stuff, it's a little warped, and it's like, it's critical thinking and, you know, the thriller aspects to his movies. Like, I think it's genius because it captivates you. It makes you sit put while he inputs, okay, here's some Black, here's some pieces of Black culture that we need to talk about. Here's some references to Black culture and history. Here's this. Here's a similarity of what happened in history, but I'm going to make it modern. I'm going to discuss mental health in the Black community. I'm going to discuss the choices we make. Yes. And I believe...
crazy. Something wrong with him.
But does it always have to be a thriller? That's my thing. Does it have to
Well, you know what?
Thriller.
Jesse said he might be our M. Night Shyamalan, and I might be leaning towards that.
M. Night Shyamalan is not. I would say he's a merge
of Spike and
because you cannot discount the messages in all of his films. Like, who else is consistently giving those? Yeah, it's a little warped. It's a little blah blah blah. But like, who else is dedicating to providing those messages for the Black community and getting us to like
I think it's both.
Yeah, he's both.
Definitely got M. Night on that horror twisted.
Yeah.
I think so, yeah. Yes.
So let's compare another director to Spike Lee. I want to see who's making the Black community think in the movie.
A Black director?
That's making the Black community think and become aware of our history, of where we're going, peel back our issues.
I mean, the only other major one I think would be Ryan.
Ryan Coogler, right now. Just right now. But I don't think anyone else can.
Yeah, we don't really. Okay, so we'll work on that.
I think Ryan Coogler is right now is trying to be that person.
Okay, he's up there.
I don't think we have anyone else comparable to.
And the only reason why, I say Ryan is because, one, he has, I think he is, I guess maybe aside from Tyler,
mm-hmm.
he is the biggest consistent young
Black
director that we have. And also, I mean, obviously, not even Black Panther put him up. Didn't he do Fruitvale? He did Fruitvale, didn't he?
I believe
Fruitvale Station.
Fruitvale Station. I think that was Ryan Coogler.
So Ryan did Fruitvale. No, he did Creed.
He did Creed, but I think he did Fruitvale. Let me look it up. Hold on.
Okay. Well, Ryan Coogler. So we have our
That's a handsome Black man. Oh, Jesus.
Lord. Yeah. Yes.
Yes, Ryan he did.
Or Michael.
He did Fruitvale. Yes. So
he did Fruitvale. Okay.
He did Judas and the Black Messiah too. I forgot.
Okay. So then Ryan is above Jordan. Well, I don't want to say above Jordan, but I would say Ryan would be the director that we would say is our modern Spike Lee. Let's go to athletics. Well, let's be honest. We don't really have to be in athletics that long. Like, we run it. We've been running it. It ain't really.
And LeBron just made history.
He
broke Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's record for the leading scorer.
Mm-hmm. Okay, LeBron. LeBron, I've always knew he was just. I'm like, this man is going. He ain't going nowhere. You can tell he's passionate too. He's like, and you know, there's people that I don't really know if I like. Who cares? Like, he is an inspiration to so many young Black men and women too. And I like what I like. I love LeBron. All right, LeBron, keep going. I don't know if any of you guys were aware of the international track star FloJo, Florence Joyner, who she was very infamous for her really long, extravagant, like SWB
nails,
and like the one leg track suit.
Mm-hmm. One leg,
long, and she was the fastest woman at the time. That was in the 80s. All through the 80s, I think until early 90s. Yeah. Right now, who has replaced her is our dear, is it Sha'Carri?
Sha'Carri Richardson.
Well, she's not ours. She's younger than
Shay. Well, the reason Shay is saying our is because you have to think about our cultural backgrounds as well. So Shay being Jamaican, for her, it might be different.
Well, I'm
the
sorry,
Shay.
Our
American. Oh no, I wasn't even. That wasn't even that. She just.
I'm just saying, if we're.
That's where you were going with it.
That's
where
I'm assuming it was.
She's Gen Z. She's 22.
Yeah, she below us.
Yeah,
but so she ain't our.
Right, she's modern. Yeah, she's not a millennial, but she is a modern day version. She just got her accolade win in 2021 for being the fastest woman in America. And she's broke some records. And when she broke that record, her mom had just passed like a few days before. So the mental agility is there as well. Like, she was grieving, but she still got out there on the heat. And yeah. So toodles to Sha'Carri. She also has that extravagant fat. And I love that, like, us we have our, we are so unique. We're just a unique people. So I'm highlighting that. I also shared an article regarding like some very current millennials and Gen Zs that are shaping today, just shaping the future of tomorrow, their works they're doing today. Simone Biles, everyone knows Simone Biles.
Yes.
You know, is the Olympic superstar. And she was very open about her mental health issues.
Bringing awareness to it.
Huh?
She's also bringing so much awareness to it.
Awareness, yes, absolutely. Let's see, Amanda Gorman, who was the poet at the inauguration for Joe Biden. The Hill We Climb. Beautiful, beautiful poem about Black progress. And so that was an activism. She is an activist because I believe she has other poems and other messages. I think she also has a platform where she pretty much pushes for, you know, social reform and like, you know, combating oppression in the Black community, et cetera. So toodles to you, Amanda Gorman. I believe she's Gen Z too. She's like early 20s.
Yeah, she's a baby.
She's very young. Yeah. Who was the person that protested that Robert E. Lee statue? Hold on, let me see.
Isn't that Zaniah?
That's the one, the Zaniah.
Yeah,
beautiful name. We don't want to mess it up. Ziana Bryant. She's 17.
Yeah, Ziana.
She's 17 now, but this was 2 years ago. She was only 15 years old when she petitioned her local city council to take down a monument of Robert E. Lee, who was a well-known racist general at the time, back in history, in Charlottesville, Virginia. So she protested that. Now, there was a big rally of white supremacists that wanted to preserve that statue. Of course, you know, you're going to get the backlash. Mm-hmm. However, it was taken down.
It was pulled right up.
It was pulled up. Yep. Yes. All right, Ziana. See, that's what I'm saying. It's the...
But you know what? No, go ahead, Kiki. Sorry.
The bold and courageous characters that we have because of the education that they're getting outside of school. We know that. You know that information is coming from outside of school.
It's not from school. It's from their environment.
Right. So circling back to what Shay was saying earlier, like, why, like, okay, so we're going to depend on the school to tell us about African American studies when the actual truth about what really happened is research that we have to do ourselves anyway.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, and that information had to come from, I need to do my research and see who was this guy? Who was Robert E. Lee? Who is this general? What did he do? What did he stand for? What, you know, was he a part of the KKK? And he has a statue that we have to see every day to commemorate him. Okay, no, we're gonna protest that. Go ahead, Shay.
No, I'm agreeing with you. Like, yeah. I don't think down here, South Florida doesn't have racism like other parts of Florida does. Number one, it doesn't.
You say so?
Not. It doesn't. Racism doesn't look the same everywhere. Racism
on beach and north. That's a whole different ballgame.
Okay. We're a big melting pot down here.
Yes, down here, it's very subtle. Above Palm Beach, you hit up the panhandle, Central Florida, them ranches, the country. That's blatant because KKK is still rampant out there. In that situation, what I was going to say as Kiki was talking was, the fight that we still have in our century to be opposing a statue of a man who was a Confederate. Yes. And when you realize what a Confederate is,
KKK,
and what they fought for, it's still being argued and people are fighting against the taking down.
Taking it down.
That statue lets you know that we are not that far removed from the foolishness.
But didn't they take that statue down?
They took it down, but it was a fight.
It was a huge fight.
Because even in Gainesville, there's one in front of the courthouse. And it's still, I believe it's, no, actually, I don't know if they took it down or if it's still there. But it was the same thing because the two protests were happening at the same time.
Hmm. Oh.
Gainesville had their own protest because of the statue.
It was because of the statue. Okay.
But the one in Virginia was able to come down. But the fact that they were still protesting for it not to be down.
Yeah.
Let you know that we're not that far removed.
We're not.
Jim Crow and race and racism and
right.
Quotes, but racism and all those kind of things. It's the fact absolutely. That we're still in an era where people are fighting against taking down the symbolism of someone who killed people because of their skin color.
Yeah. Absolutely. Jesus. Guys, I'm going to drop the article. It's so many great figures today from millennials spanning to the Gen Z population. So many Black figures. I'm telling y'all, the ages are ranging from 15 to like 30, 31. It's so many young Black figures that are bold and shaking things up and spreading awareness. And like we even have here, there is Ashina Allen, who came up with the company Capway, because she observed that many people in her hometown in Jackson, Mississippi were unbanked or underbanked, cashing checks at grocery stores, relying on payday lenders. So this app was designed to reach to people without access to banks and at a risk of being preyed on by unscrupulous companies. Like, this is what matters. Like, yo, yeah, we're unstoppable at this point. It's So I'll go ahead and drop that article so we can like educate ourselves and become acquainted. You know, and that's just inspiration.
Tutu did already.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. All right, guys, we're gonna wrap it up. Anybody else have anything to share? Any other quick little gems and facts about our amazing Black history and culture of that is, oh, and also the little ones, the future of, so we have our little ones today. I'm gonna say teenagers and younger. Some of them are mentioned, but they are our future, okay? So if you can do anything to help cultivate the mind of a child or donate or participate in charity, you know, with children in the Black community, maybe go volunteer at a school in an urban Black area. Definitely, we advocate for that because they are our future. They are going to be the future activists and, you know, literature educators, you know, the entertainers that have platforms to shake things up, the directors of the movies to come. So we definitely have to invest and pour into our youth, our Black youth. Mm-hmm. I'm a big advocate for that. And speaking of that, I do want to let you guys know that we are going to have an amazing segment about parenting Black children on the 23rd, which is a Thursday. Two Thursdays on the 23rd, we will be discussing with educator Natasha Nelson, parenting Black children in America, because let's be honest, y'all, it is not the same for us. Okay, so we're going to converse with that. If anyone has anything to share, any stories to share, definitely DM us and we can share those stories as long as the story has a relevance to parenting. and the Black community. Anyone else have any other gems to share? Any other?
I was trying to find this. It aired 2 days ago. The youngest kid to graduate high school And you would think he's in middle school. I think he's in middle school, but he graduated. He literally just graduated.
How old is he?
Freaking school. I can't, I'm trying to find it. But I literally saw it on the news. It was aired on the news.
And I'm noticing the graduates are getting younger and younger.
Black.
African. Yeah.
And he, oh my God, he's so smart. He's so cute. And he studies, he wants to study in science.
I think I know what you're talking about too.
Well, let's see if we can find it.
Basically, what he wants to study is the black hole and what he says.
So like so pretty much his interest is in
science engineering.
Okay.
Science engineering. Okay. What's his name?
I saw it on the news, so I'm trying to find the article.
Nine.
Huh? He was
9 years old. Oh,
he's not 9 years
old. He's young.
He's young. He's the youngest.
Is this the Nigerian kid?
Is he Nigerian?
Uh-huh.
David Bologan.
Yeah.
Bologan.
I remember screaming at my phone when I saw the story. I know what you're talking about. And he speaks so eloquently and just very well spoken.
Okay.
David, I found him.
David.
Yes. Tell us about David.
He wants to be an astrophysicist.
He wants to be an astrophysicist.
Yeah.
Yes.
What is his name? Let me get
David Balogun.
Where you saw that at?
Say it, Tutu.
He was one of my people.
Say it again, Tutu.
This is him.
I see.
Okay, he's a baby.
Look at you, look, he's David.
So cute.
Oh,
okay.
Man.
I say yes. Bring it.
Okay.
Beth had one more question that she wanted to ask us.
Go ahead.
Yeah, she asked it earlier in the live, but she doesn't want to speak without asking this question. So Bev had a question for us. It says, as Black women from different cultural foundations, how do you individually feel you are viewed by American society? And who do you care? How do we want to tackle this?
I'm going to say this.
As a threat.
Yeah.
Period. As a threat. And I love it.
Hush.
Go ahead.
Basically, yes, a threat. Like he said, yeah, it's a threat to you guys because you want to be us. Y'all try to mimic us in so many different ways. But yeah, just be you. And just understand us and learn us, and then you have no problem. But yeah, I don't care how you feel about me because I'm gonna still be me. And if you don't like it, then don't come say nothing to me at the end of the day because I might.
As a Black woman in America,
at the end of the day.
Tutu, Shay.
Okay.
Go ahead, Tutu.
Okay. So as a Black woman in America, now I have to remember I'm not just a Black woman in America. I'm a Nigerian woman also in America. So I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Bevelin, but you're stating because we are from different cultural backgrounds. I do have a different cultural background besides being American grown. I have a Nigerian culture as well. I will say I really don't care how I'm viewed.
Yeah,
as well, because at the end of the day, and I always repeat this, at the end of the day, if you put myself, April Shay, and Kia in one lineup in front of someone that is non-melanin, they're gonna think we're all the same. They won't know the difference. They will think that you guys are sisters or cousins.
Automatically,
it's an assumption. The only thing that separates us and makes us different is perhaps our names and our different practices, cultural practices. So at the end of the day, if I am pulled over, the police officer that is non-melanated does see me as another Negro in America. He does not see me as an African Negro. He does not see, until he sees my ID and sees the different name on my ID and now questions where that name comes from, he still physically sees me as a Black woman in America. So I really don't care how society views me. The only version of me that I want to be better than is the version that I was yesterday.
Exactly.
Nothing more, nothing less. I am going to forever protect my culture, my upbringing, my roots. That's something that's going to stick with me. It's never going to change. I cannot shake myself from it. But at the end of the day, in America, I'm a Black woman. I'm a Black woman.
Absolutely.
So
I love Shay's smile. Like when she's about to which way should I go?
I ain't got nothing else to say because Tutsa done said it.
But you know, you say all of it. Half the dang
on. I mean, literally, that's what I was gonna say. I think we discussed this extensively on the other episode that we did.
Yeah.
And the divide that we have. Especially when you're an immigrant or from an immigrant family, you're kind of set up, you feel like you're set apart, that you're not Black American. But at the end of the day, you realize that somebody see me down the street, they're not asking me if I'm Jamaican.
Mm-hmm.
They see me as Black.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. So I do not care. The only thing I care about is that Christ is seen in me and that. So that's it.
Beverly really trying to deep dive on us, y'all.
She's a deep diver.
She said, would your cultural perspective change the response to how America treats you? I mean, to answer easily, we're not going to forget where we're from and our roots. In a sense, some things we are going to respond to a little differently.
Yeah.
So to be honest, I will get a little more defensive when we start talking Africa, when we start talking Nigeria. That's there. But, you know, there are generations that came before us that, and we have an episode on it. When you have the time, go tune in about the cultural divide between African American and Africa and the diaspora. So easily put, we're never going to forget. I'm never going to stop being Nigerian. I'm never going to stop being African.
Absolutely.
There are certain things that, you know, I will raise an eyebrow to, and I will maybe want to become a little more defensive about when it comes to, especially my name, when somebody come at me about my name, you know, I'm ready to throw hands because it's the meaning for me. So there's some things we're not going to let go. There's some, and I'm sure Shay can relate. There's some things about your country where you come from. You're not going to let it go. It's going to be a part of you. It's not going to change. But at the end of the day, do we care how we are viewed and how we're treated in America? We're just we're a Negro to the next non-melanated person.
Pretty much. And in the day.
Yeah, good questions, Bevelyn. My response is we are a very powerful creation. The Black woman is, to me, a threat to those who are systemically trying to still oppress us. You have men that are threatened by the woman, period, across the board. And then you have individuals who are threatened by Black people. So I feel like there's a double. So it's pretty much like we're, in a way, we're kind of double oppressed. But the fact that we still are so graceful and we're still at the head of the game with coming, you know, with creating businesses. We're one of the top entrepreneurs, Black women. We're up and rising as like the biggest entrepreneurs like in America in the past 5 years or so. And it's the fact that, you know, they're still threatened by us and we're coming out with these beautiful makeup lines and skincare and all these different and different tech apps, and we're in politics and we're just shaking and moving things around and the Black woman. So I think that the way America is viewing me is I'm gonna either have to try to beat her or join her. Mm-hmm. And you can't beat me.
Absolutely not.
So, and we're here for the love to spread it and to share. We're not here to compete. We just want our piece of the pie that we deserve. F that. I have my own pie.
We're making our pie.
We're making our pie. And we have a very big bakery, okay? And they're threatened by that because they're like, how are they able to still be so great?
Okay, let me, if I can find this TikTok video of this white lady explaining that. She's an older white lady. Yes, she did.
And
she was just like,
please find that video.
I think I liked it in TikTok, so I should be able to go back and go through my heart. But what she said was pretty much that white women are afraid of things that white men are just not going to say. White women are afraid of Black women because of the tenacity and the things that Black women can do that white women are afraid to do. Like, bottom line.
Whoa.
That's what it is.
And she was an older white woman that said that.
She got to be in her like late 40s, 50s, maybe. So
that's not that old.
No. Well, she's older than us, you know.
Yeah.
She probably ain't even that old. She's
way older.
Yeah, but bottom line, that's what she was saying. That it intimidates them. So in order to kind of level the playing field, they use manipulation tactics.
There you go.
Or they do other things to harm us because they cannot do what they do. They cannot do what we do. They don't have the courage and the tenacity to do what we do. So in a sense, they hate on it.
Agreed. Yeah. And at one point we were,
and I think we've experienced that in different ways.
Yes.
Let me see if I can find it.
Hopefully. Great questions, Bevelyn. Anything else? Wow. We have to find that video so we can post it later under this post. Yeah, she kept it real now.
But I can think a lot of the clear people are starting to wake up, though.
The clear. Okay, I like that one, April.
You just gonna say like
some of them are starting to wake up and use conversation platforms to say they're waking up, but there are some that don't want to wake up.
Conversation platforms, but it's just some TikTok that I have been.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is social media, like social platforms.
They waking their own people up, like wake up.
Kind of.
I'm like, well, you go ahead and tell it.
You know what they need to stop doing is using their products. So anyway, but that's a different conversation for another day.
So okay,
found it. I'm gonna drop it.
Oh, please, please. Oh, gosh. Guys, we got the video. She's going to drop it under the post.
Wait, let me see if I can. Oh, God. Copy link. All right, here we go. I'm going to drop it in the chat. I'm going to drop it on the live.
Awesome. She just dropped it, everybody.
Awesome.
Found it. Shout out to the hearts page. Goodness.
Bevelyn said they don't hear you though when y'all see me standing next to a giraffe in 2030. Don't ask no questions.
That was in reference to her saying she's going to Ghana. That's a different story. And I said yes, that would be the uprising, the modern uprising and retaliation.
That's what my neighbor did.
It's not rebel. I know a few people that have the rebellion. For our generation, it's not fighting here. It's moving back to Africa. And I know a few people who have moved back to Ghana, some in Nigeria. The fight is not here. The fight don't need to be here.
It's just because, you know what? I think some people have, like, okay, so, you know, it has come out that people have stated that Martin was questioning whether desegregation was the best thing for the Black community. So there's a school of thought that why am I gonna fight for something that that doesn't belong to me in the first place? I'm just gonna go back to where it all started and where I'm gonna feel comfortable. Now I'm gonna have a different kind of fight because I'm an American back in Africa and, you know, some people may feel a particular kind of way about that, but you're just not gonna have certain plights and certain issues going back and living in a space that is full of people who look like you. You're going to have your regular community issues. Mm-hmm. You're not going to have burglary. That doesn't mean you're not going to have murder. That doesn't mean you're not going to have those like regular things that happen with connection to those around you, but you're just not going to have the fights that we have here.
Yeah, it is going to, yeah.
To where people around you look like you.
Right, absolutely. Different soil, different fight. Mm. Mm-hmm. Okay. The first people shipped away were literally only wanted to go home. Beverly said, "Oh,
panel." All right,
I know. It made us feel like we needed to stay here and fight for a broken promise, and been gaslighting us.
Because the American dream is a farce. What is it? Debt?
False dreams. False hopes.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
That might be. Yeah, y'all check out the TikTok video that Shay dropped. All right. And we love you guys. Everybody, thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back in 2 more Thursdays on the 23rd with Educator Natasha Nelson. We're going to be keeping it really, really real about parenting Black children.
Can I please tell y'all, please come with your questions, your statements, your opinions, everything, okay? But this is going to be something.
It is.
This is going to be, because I'm
going to. It's going to be pure. It's going to be stories. It's going to be education behind it. It's going to be, we're going to pull up the history of parenting and discipline techniques that have been derived from slave master to slave.
Whoop that trick.
Whoop that.
No, it's necessary. Let's have a conversation on the 23rd. Yes,
they are.
We're gonna have two different types of parents and stuff.
I'm ready for it because I need to know.
Parents like MLK and choose peace, or by any means necessary.
Malcolm X, that tale.
Thank you so much for tuning in. Season 6, Episode 1 here in Black History Month, February of 2023. And that was the first episode of the year with our comeback here at Cocktails with Kia and Friends podcast. And you have a wonderful rest of your day. Thank you for supporting us.